soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings from within your own consciousness. Well, I was going to continue with a parenthesis in eternity, but even though I read it and meditated, nothing came. However, I was overwhelmed with another talk, and it seems to be rather insistent, and so you know which talk I'm going to give, don't you? This week, I received no less than 7 problems from students and others requesting help. And it is my pleasure and my honor to be of service in that way. But I also became aware that many people are still not seeing the principles behind spiritual healing. And at the same time that was happening, a chapter from the book Awakening Mystical Consciousness just jumped out at me. It started to haunt me to where I had to read it once a day, at least, and then contemplate what I was reading. And sometimes I couldn't get through it. I had to set it aside and have a meditation right there on the spot. And all in all, it has now become a part of this talk. And so we're going to look at some of these principles and perhaps refresh ourselves with spiritual healing. I know in 1959, Joel became aware that the students were not getting these principles, and so he devoted, after having a period of several weeks in isolation and meditation, contemplation, he devoted the next year or two to these principles. And here we are, those of us that have started studying, and perhaps we are at the same place that those students were. We are not quite getting the principles. And that's okay, but I am assuming that we want to understand this, that we want to grasp and be able to use these spiritual principles. Or I know a better way would be to say that allow these spiritual principles to use us. But at any rate, let's get going on this chapter because it's something we need, obviously. And it is Chapter 7, Concepts or Is. And this is so wonderful. God, I love this. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to read enough to where we get what he's saying. Whatever you may be thinking about a person is wrong. I do not care what you are thinking. Whatever it is wrong because what you are thinking represents your concept of that person at the moment. And that concept changes from moment to moment and from year to year. Now, anyone who is attempting to be involved in spiritual healing, that must be one of the first things they understand. They're not dealing with persons out there. They are dealing with concepts in their own consciousness. That is why we are told that we give ourselves the treatment. Because there's nothing out there that needs healing. But we have this concept in our consciousness. And so it's us that needs the treatment. And it starts by understanding that concept changes from moment to moment and from year to year. You must learn not to hate or fear your concept of life, whether it is a concept of humanity, of sin, or of disease, because it is only a concept. There is no real power in concepts. There is no real power in concepts. What you are considering as person is not a person. It is a concept of a person. But that concept has no power. All power is in God. For example, whatever your concept of me may be, there is no power in it that can touch me. If you think I am good, it makes no difference to me. If you think I am bad, it makes no difference. Your thinking has no power over me. God maintains and sustains me, and I am not subject to anything but God. There is no life in your concept of me. Life is in me, not in your concept of me. Really pay attention to this talk today, because in it is the secret of healing any inharmony, any disease, any picture that's presented to you, whether in your life or in someone else's. It is much the same about everything you see, hear, touch, taste, or smell. You never really know what it is. And we had a whole talk about that, didn't we? If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, well, it has no existence. It's a concept. The application of this truth to healing work is important. You do not know what a disease or a sin is. You have only a concept of it, and there is no real power in that concept. Furthermore, you do not know the person coming to you for help. You have only a concept of him. There is no real power in your concept. The power is within himself, and that is the power of God, because there is no other power. Recall the Master's statement to Pilate, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Now let us look at the facts. Pilate was the governor, endowed with complete authority by Caesar. He was judge and jury. That was the appearance. Yet the Master denied Pilate had any power except what came from the Father. That is exactly what I am saying here. Man has no power to be just or unjust, good or bad, sinful or pure, sick or well, because all power is in God and comes forth from the Father within. The moment you begin to perceive that point, you begin to withdraw power from concepts of forms, persons, and conditions. You do this consciously. There is no power outside of you that can do it for you. God's not going to come down and flick you on the side of the head with his finger and say, "There, now you are free. You have God realization." That's not going to happen. Here, today, we are given these principles of spiritual healing, and we must work with them. We must apply them. We must do this consciously. It is you yourself who must learn to look at a person as the Master looked at Pilate and recognize, "Oh no, I see now that what I am seeing as you is a concept, an image, an effect, but the power is in God who made you. Even your thoughts do not have power. It is the God who makes your thoughts who has power. You have no power. All power is in God." You learn to do the same thing with disease, sin, or lack. You do not just close your eyes and say, "There is no such thing," or "There is no reality in it." listen to this. Let's take our time with this. You do the same thing with disease, sin, or lack. You do not just close your eyes and say, there is no such thing. There is no reality in it. That is like the ostrich burying its head in the sand. By ignoring a thing, you cannot change yourself or the thing. You have to be willing to look any form of error right in the eye. Any form. No matter how ugly its appearance or how nasty it is. Look right straight at it. With the conviction, you have no power. The power is in the God who directs you, moves you, is your mind, is your soul, is your spirit, gave you life and gave you mind. So you look at a condition and ask, where did you come from? You are an effect, a concept. You are not a cause. Something produced you. Whatever produced you is the power. And what could have produced you if God made all that was made and nothing was made except what God made? What indeed could produce this concept? How can there be an infinite God, good, and a disease? You see that? If God made everything that was made, and all that God made was made in the image and likeness of God, then from where did this concept come? Who made it? God is the only creator. Who made this concept that you're looking at as a problem? And the answer is no one. No one made it. It was not made. It's a concept in the mind. It has no real existence. There's no existence out here. It's a concept in your mind, in your consciousness. Without a cause, without a creator, without power. Everything is made in God's image and likeness, so even when you are looking at what the world calls disease, you are not looking at disease any more than you are looking at water. When you see the water on the desert, you are looking at an image, a mirage, an illusion, an appearance, a concept that has no power. It is in that realization that healing takes place. Not in denying it, turning away from it, or trying to rise above it, but in looking right at it and saying, God made all that was made, and all that God made is good. Anything God did not make was not made. So whatever you are, you have no power, no cause. In the second and third chapters of Genesis, we keep coming back to that, don't we, in this class, is the account of man's concept of creation, not God's creation. Now, that right there should be enough to meditate on for the next 5 to 10 years. This right here should be enough to set everyone free on this planet and any other planet. The second chapter of Genesis is the account of man's concept of creation, not God's creation. Man looks at that creation with his limited vision and endows it with qualities in accordance with his concept of it. He says, "You are a snake, and I am afraid of you." From then on, he lives in fear of a snake. But a few rare people in the world remember that God must have made the snake, too. The snake is never poisoned by snake poison. It is full of it, but it is not poisoned by it. So evidently, it is poison only when we accept the concept of it as poison. As a matter of fact, snake venom is extracted and used for medicinal purposes. It is a strange world, is it not? We fear a rattlesnake. And yet a doctor takes a substance considered poisonous, injects it into a person, and helps or heals certain physical disorders. It is all a matter of concept. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not God's creation. It is a concept about God's creation. There is no power in it except the power your belief gives it. There is in reality no power in anything you can think about, see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, because all power is in God. As you persist in that, as an activity of your consciousness, day in and day out, it becomes a matter of conviction. Now, do we see? It was said that Joel Goldsmith on some days had people calling him all day and into the evening and part of the night, and that he met 300 cases of flu, over 300 cases in one day. Now, how in the world could he do that if he had to sit down and give a treatment to every person appearing to him? And the answer was that he didn't. He gave a treatment to himself. Every time a concept appeared to his consciousness, he was able to turn within, drop it, and get a sense of the presence. And in Well, when God speaks, the earth melts, and so the consciousness, when the concept hit up against that consciousness, it was dissolved. And he did this without words and thoughts, without taking thought. Okay, granted, you and I are not there, but we must make a beginning. And the beginning is working with these principles as an activity in our consciousness to recognize that this is a concept. This is not my neighbor's concept. My neighbor doesn't have this. Let us say that you have a particular problem. Perhaps it's lack or an illness of some sort. Or maybe somebody has called you and told you that they have a problem they need help with. Now, where is this? This is taking place in your consciousness. Your neighbor next door, if you went over there and asked him or her, would be totally unaware of your problem. Because it's taking place in your consciousness. It's not out here. And it's your consciousness that needs the treatment. Your consciousness has the concept. And Jesus Christ took and drove the money changers out of the temple. Do we not see what that was telling us, what he was telling us? The temple is your consciousness, the temple of the living God. But what is there? It's supposed to be God's presence. It's supposed to be the Father. But what you have in your temple is all of these money changers, people weighing amounts and exchanging and bartering. That's the world mind. That's the concepts. Well, this is good and that is bad, and this weighs this much and that weighs that much, and that's kind of on the good side, but that's on the bad side. Don't you see? These are the money changers in the temple. You and I say this just as strongly for myself because I had these concepts come to me this week. We individually must use these principles as an activity of consciousness to drive out the money changers, these concepts. Now, why do we need treatment? We need treatment because we've been coasting, haven't we? There it is again. We're coasting. Everything's going along good, so we don't have an activity of consciousness. We're just kind of enjoying the fruits, and bam, something. Here comes one of those concepts. Uh-oh, I have this problem. How the heck did this come to me? I thought I was doing so good spiritually. Well, you were enjoying the fruits, but you didn't continue with an activity of consciousness day in and day out, did you? And so, here we are. Now we have this concept. This concept's in my consciousness. It's not in my neighbor's. So now how am I going to drive it out? Well, I need to have a treatment. I need to give myself a treatment in order to drive out the money changers so that it's quiet and clean and clear in there. And then I can rest. And when I rest, then God enters its temple. The light shines and the darkness disappears. God speaks and the earth melts. But since I can't tune in because I'm not at that place in consciousness where Joel was, where this was a constant activity, and actually, after this has been a constant activity, it sometimes begins to live you. Christ liveth my life, and so this consciousness takes over. But you must kick this ball down the hill. You've got to get the wheel started. You've got to start the snowball down the hill, and that takes work, and it takes an activity of consciousness, and it takes a treatment. You have to give yourself a treatment. There's nobody out there and no condition out there to give a treatment to. God created all that was made, and all that was made is in the image and likeness of God, therefore all good. Anything else, whether I see it as individual good or individual evil, is a concept. It's not out there. It's in my consciousness. It's being presented to me. Therefore, I will give myself a treatment. Now, the Master taught his disciples to turn away from judgments of persons and things when he said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If you are not to call Jesus good, then do not call any person or anything good. Do not call health good, do not call wealth good, do not call happiness good, call only God good. Do not ever call any effect good because the good is in the cause. It is just as erroneous to look at anything and call it bad." Now, I'm a stickler on this because you cannot have one without the other. And here is where we get into difficulty. And here is where we perhaps do our coasting, okay? Now, it is much more difficult to give ourselves a treatment and to recognize that this is only a concept I'm looking at if we have become emotionally involved with it. Now, I can guarantee you, now I had this experience, so I'm going to tell you about it. One of the awakenings that I had came after a very difficult time in which I found myself alone. But out of that grew the conscious awareness that God is inside of everyone and everything. And I lived in that consciousness for 2 solid months. God is inside of everybody or everyone and everything. I felt it there. It wasn't a thought or something I read in a book. Now, after and while, or during this experience, while I was in this state of consciousness, my own mother came to visit me. And I looked at her and I saw God, not her. There was no emotional attachment there. And I must have said something kind of strange because she looked at me and said, "My God, you're not even human, are you?" And I said, "Why, thank you." And that was a very strange period in my life, but I learned to keep my mouth shut, but I also learned that if we have the conscious awareness, listen, please listen, if we have the conscious awareness of God inside of everyone and everything, we no longer see them as persons. And so the emotional attachment isn't there. But then we also have the consciousness to see the truth, where the error was. And so when I say I'm a stickler with this, I mean that we can no longer see good, that which we feel is good, and we can no longer see bad. We have to let them both go. And so that means if I have an emotional attachment to my parents, or to my friends, or to my children, or to my grandparents, or anyone else, if there is a deep attachment, then I'm going to see them as a person, aren't I? But you must recognize that this is a concept. Your attachment is to a concept. Because if only God is present, they're not there. Yes, God is appearing as, and God is the truth of that person. But this concept you have of them that says, I love them, they're so fill in the blank, or I hate them, these are concepts. And they both have to go. Both good and evil of duality has to go in order that oneness can be ushered in as an awareness. And so, if you're going to practice the principles of spiritual healing, well, I'm afraid you're going to have to be willing to let go of the good and the bad so that only God can remain. Now, it is just as erroneous to look at anything and call it bad. It is not good and it is not bad. It has no good power and it has no bad power because all power is in God. Well, one other point I wanted to make. At the time I went through that experience, I was also struck. I think I've shared this before, but it fits so well here. I need to bring it up. I was struck with the realization that this belief I had about husband and wife and what they were supposed to be and marriage and what it was supposed to be was shattered. It was shattered because I came to see that was all a concept. That entire relationship that I thought I had with her was a fantasy. It wasn't going on out here. And I'm telling you, it was a good one, a good concept. But in fact, the only relationship I had was with God, one with God. And the only presence there is God, and was God. And so I had to let go of that concept, and it was kind of painful because it was like letting go of an old friend, you know? You grew up watching Ozzie and Harriet and Father Knows Best and some of those other television shows, and you come to think that, or you come to believe that that's what marriage is. And yet, in the spiritual way of life, it's something quite different. Because it's two people, yet one, walking in the conscious awareness of God and being instruments for one, for God to work through them. So this other thing of going off into the sunset in love is a concept. And I had to let it go. It was part of the good concepts. But whether good or whether evil, they are concepts. And in spiritual healing work, they have to be set aside. And so he says, the moment you can take good power and bad power out of an effect, you have obeyed Jesus' teaching on two points. You are not calling a person good, you are calling God good. And you are not fearing the evil of Pilate because you are recognizing God as the only power. So you have removed good and evil from effect, and now you have all power in God. There is no way of judging righteous judgment by appearances. Do not look at what appears to be a good condition and judge it to be good because it is not. Its only goodness is in God. Do not look at any evil and call it evil because that is judging only by appearances. You have no knowledge of what lies behind appearances, so it is a matter of training yourself to be able to look at human appearances of both good and evil and say, neither do I judge you. Neither do I declare you to be good or evil. I will say, you must be spiritual, because God created all that is, and God is spirit. This last point is very important, because infinite way healing is practiced on this basis. What basis? You must be spiritual, because God created all that is, and God is spirit. It is possible for someone to pass a medical examination for insurance one day and die of a heart disease the next week. The doctor had judged from appearances.
A doctor's verdict may be that a person has only another week or a month to live, but the doctor does not know what is going on in the patient's consciousness. Doctors have told many people they will soon die, and yet they are alive and the doctor is dead. There are forces at work that you and I know nothing about, or we know too little, so there is no use judging by appearances. By withholding judgment, by neither judging nor condemning, I realize I know nothing about you, except that you are God appearing as individual being. I do not know if you are good or bad, sick or well, but I know you are God appearing, and on that I stand. All that God is, you are. All that God has, you have. God constitutes your being. I cannot see that with my eyes. With my eyes, I can only judge by appearances. I could even judge how old you are or how many years you have left to walk on the earth, but I could do that only with my human judgment. Then you might turn around and fool me. It is not possible to make a correct judgment by looking at appearances or concepts, because you are what you are, and what you are is God manifest, God expressed, God being, Christhood. You are spirit, but I do not know what spirit is. So I am not engaging in any judgment. I am just making the declaration of is. You see that? He admits. The man who healed 300 cases of flu in one day admits, you are spirit, but I do not know what spirit is. He has no concepts. We do not want a concept of God either. Let's get that straight. Because a concept of God won't heal. You read this book, you form a concept, and pray to that concept, and nothing happens, does it? That is because you are praying to a concept. We don't want any concepts. You do not know what soul is. You do not know what consciousness is. So the moment I say, you are soul, I am saying, you are what you are, and I do not know what it is. Even though the appearance may be that you are good or bad, sick or well, short or tall, I only know you are soul, spirit, and life. That is having no condemnation, criticism, judgment, praise, or flattery. That is just stating the truth. The moment I qualify that and say you are good, bad, rich, poor, healthy, sick, young, or old, well, then I am in the realm of judgment, of concepts, of appearances, and I will make no progress that way. Okay, now this next part of this principle of spiritual healing is important. Do not try to understand what God is with the mind, because there is no way to do that. Once you get to that silent place at the center of your being, God will reveal itself. But you will never be able to put it into words even after you experience it. So there is no use trying to think about it with the mind. Do not try to think of what man is, because you will never figure that one out either. Man is the Son of God, and you do not know what the Son of God is. Man, in his true identity, is the Christ, and you do not know what the Christ is, because the spiritual sonship of man never reveals itself to human identity. Whoa! Did you hear that? Let's say it again. This is one of those bombshells. Man in his true identity is Christ, and you do not know what Christ is. Because Christ never reveals itself to your human identity. Wow. Wow. And later on he's going to say this, and I don't think we'll run into this today. I don't think we have enough time. Let's see. No, there's too many more pages, so perhaps this is a two-parter. But later on he's going to say, let me see if I can find it, because it's fabulous. Be right back. Okay, I guess it's not in here. But he does say down on this page, he reinforces this idea when he says, God does not impart itself to human beings. Ah. Wow. So God does not impart itself to a human. Well, then how am I ever going to receive these impartations? Who is going to receive these impartations, if not a human being? Well, we just went over this. All human beings are nothing but concepts. God is the only presence. And so this concept of a human being in your mind is not going to receive the presence of God. God is not going to reveal itself to that concept of a human being in your mind. And so we must do what Christ showed us to do. We must drive out of the temple the money changers. That is, the concepts. The concepts that keep score. This is good and that is bad. Now, let us go a little bit farther with this, because it's important that you grasp this, that I grasp this, that all of us grasp this. God gave dominion to the man in the first chapter of Genesis, who was made in God's image and likeness. A human being was never given dominion, but the man made in God's image and likeness is the man you are when you stop accepting appearances. Okay. Now let's put this in words that we'll understand. The first man, the man of the first chapter of Genesis, the man God created, the man in the image and likeness of God, that is Christ, the Son of God. The man made in God's image and likeness is the man you are when you drop all concepts. Because when you drop all concepts, you're in a state of silence. You're not entertaining anything. And this is the one that God reveals itself to. Right here. Right there. In your consciousness. You see how vitally important it is to get free from any concepts, to step out of concepts and into that inner temple, because that's the one that receives the presence of God. He said up here, Christ never reveals itself to human identity, because that's a concept. And he said down here, God does not impart itself to human beings, because that's a concept. And he said here, the man made in God's image and likeness is the man you are when you stop accepting concepts as if they were real. You are the image and likeness of God only when you stop having concepts. Bam! Bam! Do we see how powerful this is? We have the way to freedom. When you stop having opinions or beliefs about this universe and instead listen for a spiritual impartation, then your mind is entirely free of any opinions or judgments or concepts, and you are the child of God. All that the Father has is pouring itself through to you. God does not impart itself to human beings. If God did, there would not be a sick or sinful person. There would not be an accident. There would not be a war. Humanhood is something separate and apart from God, or it would not be in trouble. God appearing as man is not in trouble, is not dying, is not poor, is not on a battlefield, is not sick. But you are that spiritual man only when you have learned to stop thinking in terms of good or evil. All these attachments, these concepts, must go. And you are the one that has to drive them out of the temple. That is when you are God itself in expression. When you are labeling nobody and no condition as either good or evil, you are the child of God and you have dominion over everything. Everything is a concept. What do you really have dominion over? Nothing out here, because only God is.
What are you overcoming when you overcome the world? You are overcoming concepts. You have dominion over concepts. Everything that exists on earth, he says, is a concept, because you really are God appearing as individual being. I have no control over you, but if I am entertaining a human concept about you as being young or old, rich or poor, sick or well, I can have dominion over that concept of you. And the moment I have attained dominion over my concept of you, I behold you as you are, and I am satisfied with that likeness. You have not been changed because you were the child of God all the time. All that has changed is my concept of you, and that is what constitutes healing. Ta-da! So, this is so fantastic. This makes this so plain, I can't see how anybody would not get this. There is no such thing as healing someone out there. So you can forget about that. You don't have to be worried about Grandma or Auntie M or Brother Tim or Little Johnny or even the person you think you see that you are. Dennis or Denver or Waylon or Jennifer or Bill or Pete or Tom or Mike. Okay? You're not. Spiritual healing has nothing to do with healing people. Isn't that just amazing? Nothing to do with healing people. Spiritual healing has everything to do with going inside your temple, driving out the money changers, the amounts and measurers, those that weigh things as good or evil, the concepts of creation, so that in the temple, after you have driven out these concepts and become still and rested in the temple, you receive the Word of God. That is, you receive the awareness that God is you and all that is. Then, when you open your eyes, what do you see? You see your own consciousness. And it is the presence of God, which is harmony, joy, peace, love, blessings. Okay? So, spiritual healing is a tricky way of getting you to go within your temple and meditate until you awaken. Spiritual healing is simply you awakening to your true identity. Now, how do we do this? How do we drive out these concepts? I think we will complete this second half of this chapter another time. But for right now, I want you to take, or please, if you feel so inclined, take your problem, whether it's one of your own or one that somebody has presented you with, one that somebody has called you about, told you about, I don't care. But take the problem that you're being confronted with now, however large or small. And if you have no problem, well, then take this class, which is appearing as the students in this class, which are appearing as some who are harmonious and some who are caught in a trouble of one kind or another. Okay? Now, we close our eyes. Take a deep breath and we relax. Where are we? Where am I? I'm going to give this in the first person, but you know who I'm talking to. Here I am in my own consciousness. And here is this concept. Here's this picture, this mental image that I have in my consciousness. It has been presented to me, and so now I have it. It's not in my neighbor's consciousness. If I went next door and knocked on their door and asked them, they would have no idea what this is that I'm struggling with. And so, it's in my consciousness. It's in my temple, this concept. Now, the first thing we have to do is give ourselves a treatment. Joel said thousands of times that we begin our meditation by giving ourselves a treatment. Okay, so, here is this concept of this person. I don't have to give it a name, I only have to see that I have this concept in my consciousness. So their name or their particular dis-ease is not important. Their trouble is not important. All I need to know about it is a concept. Now, where did this concept come from? I have it. It's a hot potato. It's in my consciousness. I'm tossing it from hand to hand. What do I do with it? Where did it come from? Where did this concept come from that I am looking at right now? Did God create this concept? No. God created its image and likeness. God being all good, well, this concept was not created by God. Yet here it is. Where did it come from? This concept is a part of the universal belief in good and evil. And it does not matter what you call the source. You can call it world mind, you can call it carnal mind, you can call it universal belief, you can call it, well, you can even call it soap bubbles. So long as you understand that its source is nothing. What is there behind this concept? The answer is nothing. This is an impersonal concept. It's not mine. It's just like tuning into a radio station and receiving a broadcast. You know, I was coasting. I didn't have a conscious activity of truth going on in my mind. And so my temple wasn't cleaned out. No, I was just coasting along, and here came these money changers. Here came this concept, and I picked it up like a radio broadcast. It's not my concept, but it is presented to me. And now, what is behind it? What is the cause? If God did not create it, it was not made. Then what is behind this concept? What is the cause of this concept? And the answer is nothing. There is nothing behind this concept. It's a concept. It's not a thing. It is so many neurosnaps in the brain. It's only a picture. There's no God behind it. There's no law behind it. There's no substance behind it. It's a mental image, a picture, a concept, a nothingness. And so this concept that does not belong to me or anyone else has nothing behind it. Nothing. And so now I am done with that. I have driven out the money changers. Now let me turn my attention to truth. There's no truth about a concept, but there is truth about God. But what is the truth about God? I do not know. Only God can reveal God. So now let me turn within. Let me go a little deeper. Let me take a breath and let it out. Let me rest in God. God is here. God is now. I do not know what God is. And so I turn to God. Father, reveal yourself. Reveal your presence.
let me be aware of that which you are. Father, fulfill thyself. I am still. I am listening. I am receptive. God, reveal thyself. And now I will rest here, waiting upon the Lord. And you rest. God is. And God reveals itself. God reveals itself as a presence. God reveals itself as a message. God reveals itself as a feeling, a knowing. God reveals itself as a click, a release. Yes, that's right. God is on the field. And I am released. I'm not released from anything other than concepts. And so I am free. Here, in my inner being, God announces itself. And I stay with it. I stay in it. I listen a little longer. And it is finished. Now I can open my eyes and go on about living. Okay, so there's no such thing as spiritual healing. There is only awakening, coming out from concepts, driving the concepts out of the temple. And in the clean and clear temple, the Father enters. The Father enters its temple. And when the Father enters, that is what we are aware of in our consciousness, whether our eyes are closed or open. So now we open our eyes and suddenly the problem is dissolved. Now it may not be dissolved instantaneously, but it may. It may come back to the concept may present itself to me again in an hour. I may have to sit down in an hour and do this same thing. Different words, but same inner experience. But I must make this a conscious activity of my consciousness. I must go inside and do the house cleaning. Then God will enter. God won't enter a temple that's cluttered up with concepts. I must clean it out. I must prepare the way for the Lord. And in this holy temple that is clear and clean, because I gave myself a treatment, I ran out the money changers. In that clean temple, that clear temple, that receptivity, God is. God happens. And I have an actual experience of God. And Joel tells me that if I am emotionally involved with the problem, it may take two attempts at meditation. It may take 30, 50, 100, or even a year. He worked with the woman in the shack that had tuberculosis, was on death row, and it took him over a year. This is Joel Goldsmith that had 300 cases of flu met in a day. It took him over a year. Okay? But what was he doing? The same thing we are doing. He wasn't healing anybody. He was recognizing the omnipresence of God by running the money changers out of the temple and resting in the word that came to him in that inner temple. And so after you run the money changers out and close the door and go deep in your temple, then you rest and you receive an impartation. The actual experience, the actual God experience comes to you.
And it appears then as your life, because you live and move and have your being in your own temple. You see, there are no people out there. God is omnipresent, and it's all your temple. And so anyone appearing to you as good or evil is a concept appearing to your consciousness. And your work is to run out the money changers, close the door, rest and receive the Word of God, which is the presence of God. The Word of God is not a word. The Word of God is the presence, the conscious awareness, the consciousness of God. That then awakens you to your real relationship, which is with God, one with God, whether inside the temple or in the so-called appearance of a world out here, which is also inside the temple. Okay? Now, you might say that this world appearing out here is the outer room of your temple. And this temple in here, in within you, is the inner room of your temple, where you go after you've driven out the money changers and closed the door, where you go to receive the Word of God and experience your atonement, your at-one-ment with God. And here within, God announces itself and then appears as the temple within and the temple without, one temple. So, we have a work ahead of us. It's not enough to listen to this talk and say that sounds really nice and then go downstairs and watch a something that, well, let's say like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, something that's going to pull our attention back to concepts. That just won't do. You won't get it that way. You do that and you're coasting. And if you coast, you open the door to your temple and you say, come on in, money changers. Come on in. And you'll make it eventually, but it sure is the long way around. No, we can't coast in this work. This has to be a constant day-by-day activity of our consciousness. And you and I are going to do it. We have made a commitment, and we're going to do it. And I think that's about all we can say on that. This is the true nature of spiritual healing. It is really just you going within and awakening. And when you awaken, you shall be satisfied with thy likeness. I hope that has some, well, I know this has some principles that if you are looking for answers, you can really work with. You can pick up these tools and work with them. And I'd be interested in hearing the results you get from working with them. I would not, as a matter of fact, don't tell others what you are doing because they may not understand. They may not be at a stage or a state where they can understand this. But feel free to share the results you are getting with someone that's ahead of you on the path that will understand and treat your pearls as something precious and hand them back to you that way rather than trampling them under their feet. That is what we are doing, awakening mystical consciousness. Okay, I hope that helps. And I know I feel a lot better having gotten that off my chest. God bless you. May you find your freedom in this internal temple, this internal room in the temple of your very own consciousness. and here commune with, in oneness with your Father, with God, with that which is. Blessings.